City of Destruction, an audio drama by JesusForSinners.com. Episode 8.
Quite a journey. As a boy growing up in the 6th District, I had humble ambitions. All I could hope for was to provide for my family, as well as my father, Bob Sherwood Sr., did for us. I wish he and my mom could be here now. They'd be amazed at how blessed their son is. I thought that I had reached the high point of my life when I became the city council representative for my district. I worked hard to serve the people I represented. I could hardly have dreamt that I would be given the opportunity and the honor of representing all of United City's citizens as your new City Council President. This has been an amazing campaign. Elections in the past have been marked by the way they've divided our city. But this campaign brought together groups from all across our broad United City family. Business owners, blue-collar workers, single moms, mainstream Christians, and our LGBT brothers and sisters. Rather than fighting over our differences, we chose to celebrate our common values. Values of hope, freedom, family, and fairness for all our citizens. We will dismantle the burdensome bureaucracy that has stifled our businesses and cost this city good middle-class jobs. If you want to start a business or expand the business you have so you can hire more workers, we are not going to stand in your way. As we loose the shackles from our businesses, we will ensure the safety of our environment. We all benefit from clean air, clean water, and the green spaces that bring us closer to nature. We all share this environment together. We are all blessed by it. We have to be faithful stewards of this city's resources. Nature ties us all together. We're all part of it. We're its children, and we must serve and protect this shared space that gives us the life within us. We will provide education for all our citizens, regardless of their income, from daycare to preschool to college. We will have the best educated workforce ever. All of our children will be armed with the most enlightened and the most up-to-date, the most comprehensive education possible so that they can fulfill their dreams, reimagine their futures, and be the rulers of their own destinies. As we will be a united and inclusive city, a city where all our citizens can live the lives they've always wanted, without fear of discrimination or abuse. We will stamp out every last vestige of bigotry wherever it seeks to hide in our fair city. The days of tolerating intolerance are over! My fellow citizens, our future looks bright. We've come a long way already, but we have much farther to travel. Hand in hand, as one city, we will help each other achieve the goals that fulfill us all. Individual dreams will become collective dreams. When my neighbor succeeds, I succeed. When my neighbor stumbles, I will be there to pick her up. And when my neighbor is treated unfairly, I will stand up and fight. United, together, we can conquer all that brings us down. Together, we can lift each other up. Together, we will make our future bright. And together, we will build the greatest city the world has ever seen. Madeline, Madeline, we did it!
Congratulations, Bob!
Can you believe this, Madeline? City Council President! Oh, we're gonna do great things, Madeline!
You've certainly been given a tremendous responsibility, Bob, and a lot of power. The citizens of this city are counting on you.
Oh, I know. There are so many things I want to do. First thing after the inauguration, we'll get to work on tearing apart this bloated bureaucracy. Then the schools, then the environment. Oh, Madeline, there's so much to do.
And you'll remember your promises to protect all of United City's citizens, right, Bob?
No, of course.
Even the Christians, right, Bob?
What are you talking about, Madeline? The Christians love me. They voted for me in droves.
Well, not all the Christians voted for you, Bob.
Them, Madeline, you worry too much. Be happy. This city's united like it's never been before. This is the strongest coalition we've ever seen. There isn't anything we can't accomplish with all these different groups behind us. People will remember this administration long after we're gone. History, Madeline, history, get excited!
Well, before they rename the city after you, we have to get things done.
I know, Madeline, I can't wait to get started. You're going to be right there with me. This is going to be amazing. And who knows, Madeline, maybe they'll rename it Bob Madeland.
Oh, brother. I'll be with you, Bob, just like I've always been. But I'm going to make sure you keep your head on straight.
I wouldn't want it any other way, Madeline. You've always kept me pointed in the right direction. That's what makes us such a great team. Get ready, Madeline. We're taking over Bob Madeland.
Down. Together we can lift each other up. Together we will make our future bright. And together.
Well, that's it, Harold. He won.
I guess I'm not too surprised. Are you, Carol?
No, but I was praying.
Well, the other candidate wasn't any better.
Still, I was hoping the lady from that Christian group would win. I know small parties don't stand a chance, but I was hoping. At least it felt good to vote my conscience.
Between you and me and her family, she probably got 4 votes.
I know, I know. I'm not sure what I was hoping for, but yeah, it wasn't this.
Yeah, things are going to be different.
What do you think will happen?
Well, Carol, we can look at what happened in the other cities when this happened. We can look at history and see what's happened. This isn't anything new. There are more unsaved people than saved people. We've been blessed for so long because the founders of this city were Christians. We've had that heritage, but I guess it was only a matter of time.
How do you think it's going to affect our church?
I wouldn't be surprised if the tax-exempt status was the first thing to go. You've seen that in other cities. If a church is seen by the government as being discriminatory, the tax authority punishes them.
Well, we don't exactly have big profits to tax.
Yeah, but our members will no longer get to deduct their offerings as charitable contributions. It could affect giving.
Oh, I'm sure our congregation will continue to support this church, tax deductions or not.
Maybe. Our members aren't exactly rich. They've already sacrificed a lot to support this church. Losing the deduction could make a big difference.
Yeah.
The question is, if people have to choose between their church and their lifestyle, even if it isn't much, which will they choose?
Well, I'm sure our congregation will remain faithful.
I don't know. We've already lost a lot of members over the past several years.
That was just God separating the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah. Then there's the issue of my preaching.
What do you mean?
What am I going to be allowed to say?
You'll preach the word and be ready in season and out of season, just like you always have. God's given you that strength, Harold.
Yeah. Look at what's happened to pastors in other cities, though. When they've done that, I know God will be with me no matter what happens, but I worry about you, about this congregation.
Well, we'll just leave that up to God. We won't be the first people to have to sacrifice something to be faithful. It's a test and an opportunity to trust God and depend on Him to take care of us.
You're right. We've had it so easy. Look at the early church. They had to decide between faithfulness to their government and faithfulness to God. He kept them strong, even to the point of death. Carol, I hope He gives me the strength to lead this flock through this trial. I hope I can be as faithful as those shepherds back then.
Oh, Harold, we all need strength. I need it too. I think we're all going to find out what it takes to be real Christians and how much we're willing to trust God and His plan for us.
Yes, this is all in His hands. And, you know, it's really a new opportunity to glorify God in a different way. Because we've been so comfortable, the things we do to glorify God can become mechanical, just a force of habit. Think of when we sing hymns in church. How many people in the congregation look like they're at a funeral? Where's the joy and praise to God? But if we're in an environment where our faith actually costs us something, then maybe we'll have a better grasp of just how valuable it is. And then when we praise God, it'll be less out of habit and more out of joy for what He's done for us. If our faith costs us everything, it'll be the most valuable thing we have.
As it should be. It cost Jesus everything to give us our salvation. And He gave us this faith in Him. It should already be the most valuable thing in our lives.
Well, it's easy to forget that when it doesn't cost us anything. We take it for granted. But people in other cities have been paying for their faith for a long time. They've always been in the minority and had to endure incredible hardship.
It's still hard for me to think that way, as us being in the minority.
Well, who do you have in a position of power to support us? Sherwood and his party used to support us, but when it looked like it would cost them the election, they threw us overboard as fast as they could.
It didn't help that other churches came out and supported him.
Well, those churches stopped being faithful to God a long time ago. As our city moved more and more away from God, these churches moved right along with them. They were more than willing to abandon biblical principles in order to appeal to people. They were too busy building their own congregations and their own little kingdoms to worry about God's kingdom.
I remember that verse in Galatians. For am I now seeking the favor of man or of God? Or am I striving to please men? For if I were still pleasing men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ.
Yes, nothing new. People care more about pleasing other people than they do about pleasing God. That's why the political parties were so willing to abandon us. Very few politicians are willing to risk their political careers to support an unpopular minority. And these other so-called Christian groups, they just gave them the cover they needed to go where they've wanted to go for a long time.
It just seems to have happened so quickly.
Well, sin builds up and up and gains momentum, and then it reaches a tipping point. Our cities embrace sin more and more over the years. Divorce, abortion, drugs, pride, materialism. And look how people have denied God. They went from God being at the center of their lives to them being at the center of their lives. In order to do that, they've diminished God and elevated themselves in their own wisdom.
They worship the creature rather than the Creator.
Exactly, Carol. Just like Romans 1 says, I mean, look at the way Sherwood talked about the environment tonight. He's almost deifying it. It's gone from being good stewards of God's creation to worshiping nature as the creator of itself and the rest of all of us. It's just rebranded paganism.
The devil is sure having a field day in this city.
Yeah, I'm afraid we haven't gotten to the point where God's turned this city over to its sin.
You think he's abandoned this city?
Romans 1 does talk about God turning people over to a depraved mind as a result of turning away from him.
But God does have a remnant here.
Yes, he does. And he'll help us and strengthen us. And he'll give us new ways to glorify him. We can still sing praises to him. We can share his gospel. But we might be glorifying him with our sacrifice and our persecution soon.
Our congregation will need to get ready for this.
Yes, it's definitely a different time.
You'll need to shepherd this flock through this much different pasture.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's going to be more like a wilderness with lots of danger and wild beasts. Oh, Carol, pray for me. I'm going to need strength. This is it. This is when my work's going to be tested by fire. I pray that God strengthens me so that what he's allowed me to build remains. Pray that our little flock remains faithful.
And together, we will build the greatest city the world has ever seen.
Where are your parents, Brian?
They went to the Sherwood Victory Rally.
What? Your parents went to the rally?
Well, Andrea, they did give a lot of money to Sherwood's campaign.
That's even worse.
I have to admit, Brian, I'm surprised they supported him.
My dad liked his position on business. He sure wouldn't mind less bureaucracy and lower taxes, Mark.
Yeah, but what about his position on gay marriage and all this other gay stuff? What about the way he ditched us and kissed up to all those other groups just to get elected?
Hey, my dad's a smart businessman. He sees the way the culture's going. I mean, we're in marketing. It's all about knowing the mood of the public. This whole thing was just inevitable anyway. Sometimes you have to choose between the lesser of two evils. At least Sherwood can help create jobs.
Yeah, you can have a job if you're willing to abandon your faith.
Hey, you're going back to work, aren't you, Andrea?
Only by the mercy of God.
I'm surprised the arbitration went so well.
Well, the union was willing to stand up for me because I'm new, and this was the first incident. But even they wanted me to not go against the curriculum. They said all the teachers in the union support it. I'm the only one who's got a problem with it.
I find that hard to believe.
I hope it's hard to believe. I'd hate to think that there aren't any other teachers in the city that are Christians and willing to stand up for Jesus.
It's hard to stand up, though. I mean, there's so many bad things that can happen.
Yeah. You should see what my boss is going through. Praise God that he's been more open about his faith, but I've heard everyone complaining about him. One of the guys on our team even filed a complaint with Human Resources because Ken told him to stop blaspheming Jesus. The guy said that Ken was pushing his religion on him.
See what I mean?
Yeah, but Brian, we're not just supposed to be faithful when it's convenient. Remember that verse in James where it says that the testing of our faith produces endurance so that we can be complete? And Jesus said in Revelation that if we're faithful even to death, he'll give us the crown of life. Isn't that more important than the things in this life?
Sure it is. But that doesn't mean it isn't hard.
Yeah, but we have God to give us the strength to be faithful. We don't have to do it ourselves.
Yeah, Mark. So Andrea shouldn't go back to work, right? She should be faithful and just leave.
Yeah,
like I said, it's hard. How'd you like being out of work for these past few weeks, Andrea?
It was hard. I was worried. If I lost my job, not even halfway through the school year, my first job, how would I find another one? The next school would want to know what happened. What would I tell them? That I wouldn't celebrate a girl's gay parents? In this environment? I'd never get a job again.
See, it's easy to say all this stuff, but when it comes down to it, we need to work. We need to exist in the society. We have expenses. We'll have families to support someday, mortgages.
Student loans to pay off.
Student loans to pay off. What are we supposed to do? Do you think God really wants us to starve to death?
Well, what do Christians in other cities do?
Starve to death.
Right.
Well, just about. You don't see them in positions of power. They don't have good jobs or can start their own businesses. They're a minority. No one would ever go to their businesses if they didn't get burned down anyway. That's what Christians in other cities go through. But Christians here still find ways to start businesses. They just need to keep their principles at home.
And what's that supposed to mean?
You know what it means.
I think she's referring to the Skater magazine.
Thanks, Mark. I know what she's referring to.
I heard that trash you're promoting is launching next week. I bet the kids can't wait to get their hands on that filth. It'll probably show up in my classroom.
Well, Andrea, you could stand up for your principles and not be there.
Okay, that's enough, you two. Man, this situation is bad enough. Are we really going to go after each other, too? Brian, I think she's just upset because she's trying to be faithful. And she did get suspended, after all. And it seems like you're... Well, it looks like you're willing to abandon God just to make some money.
Oh, yeah. You can tell by my fleet of sports cars that I'm all about the money. Give me a break.
Or maybe you desire to be successful.
It's wrong to want to be successful?
If you have to peddle sin in order to do it, then yes. Really, Brian, if you can convince yourself that it's okay to support these kinds of wicked things, then tell me what you can't talk yourself into doing.
It's a slippery slope, Brian.
Hey, Mark, I've got a bunch of employees to support. If I don't do a good job, then they lose their jobs. And if this division loses money, it affects the rest of my dad's company. If my dad makes less money, then there's going to be less for the church.
He could stop giving God's money to political candidates that support things God hates.
God's money?
Yes. The only way any of us can make a living is if God gives us the ability to do that. It's God's money. We're just stewards of it, and we're supposed to be good stewards.
Hey, if you can tell me how to make a living in this society without going along with, at least parts of it, I'm willing to listen. But I haven't heard anything yet. Look at you, Andrea. You're going back to work next week. They haven't changed what they're teaching at that school, have they?
No. I don't know what to do. I don't want to go back to feeling guilty all the time, but...
Okay, so stop getting on me for doing the same thing you're doing.
So what does this mean? How can we be faithful and still make a living?
I don't know.
Me either.
What if it will be like those other cities? What if the lives those other Christians have is the life we're going to have?
No way.
Think about it, Brian. Other Christians have had to deal with this stuff their whole lives. They've never had an opportunity to be successful or have the career they wanted. They've had to find ways to just survive. And that's with their whole society against them. Why do we think we're any different?
Yeah, but that's other cities. This is the city of opportunity. It's always been that way. There's no guarantees, but if you want to be something or have a certain career, then you'll have the opportunity to go after it.
But what if that's all in the past? What if that's for everyone except us now?
Do you really think it could be like that?
Look at what's happened to you, Andrea. Look at what's happened to my boss. And look at you, Brian. You can't even have a successful business and employ people without giving into this society. The thing is, do you really think that's going to be an acceptable excuse to God? I mean, if it is, would the Christians in these other cities be going through what they're going through?
Are all the Christians in the past, the ones that were fed to lions, or burned at the stake, or beheaded, if they would have just gone along with their culture, they would have been fine?
If Jesus would have gone along, he would have been fine.
Oh, are we just weak? Is this the test and we're all just failing? All these Christians before us, all these Christians in these other cities, they put up with so much for Jesus. Is our faith so weak that the slightest trial makes us back down?
I don't know how slight it is not to be able to make a living.
We can probably still make a living. I mean, those Christians in those other cities do still survive. They're just at the bottom of the ladder. There's probably jobs we could get where there wouldn't be as much pressure to cave in.
Like what? Digging ditches?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's the jobs where they don't pay you enough to care about what you think. Maybe it's those jobs where people already have such a low opinion of you that being a Christian is just one more reason to not think much of you.
I didn't go to college to learn how to dig ditches.
I mean, maybe our expectations just have to be different. Maybe it isn't like the past. Maybe everyone else can still hope to be whatever they want to be. But for us, it'll just be about what we can do to survive.
Wow, that's the total opposite of everything we've been taught about the city growing up.
Yeah. But is it the principles of the city or the principles of God that are going to be the guide to our lives? Maybe that's the choice. If we want to be faithful Christians, we're just going to have to realize that there are parts of the future that are not available to us. Opportunities that are there for other people, not us.
Are you kidding? Do you hear what you're saying?
Brian, you're the one that said you can't make a living in this society without going along with it. I'm saying, yeah, you're right. So then what? What do we do? Do we choose society, all its promises and opportunities, or do we choose God?
We can't have both.
It isn't looking like that. This wouldn't be the first time the devil's tempted people with the attraction of the world. That's all it is. Are we going to take the bait, or are we going to be faithful?
I can't believe we have to make that choice.
It's looking more and more like we do.